All right. I wanted to record it in the cloud, not on actually on my computer. I want to do it in the Zoom cloud. So I hit the wrong button. So now it's in the Zoom cloud. I just want to say hi, and I haven't seen Tammy forever. She's in Texas. Elise is house sitting up in, where did you say, Dublin?
New Albany,
Or
close.
New Albany. She's up in New Albany, house sitting. And I am in the Bradenton, Sarasota area today. So we're all a little displaced, but it's great that we can meet like this and see everybody. I haven't seen Tammy forever. It's so good to see you. Tammy, we missed you at our holiday party. I know you were traveling. I get it. But yep, it was a fun time. And yeah, and Elise, we missed you. So it's all fun, though. It's all good. It's
We
all
saw the
good.
pictures on
So
Facebook. Looked like you guys had a good time and a decent
We
turnout.
did, and saw some folks that I hadn't seen in like 6 or 7 years. They showed up, and it was and again, we talked about this in an earlier call today, on the clubhouse this morning. But again, when I got there and saw this gal, I said, "Oh my gosh, I haven't seen you forever." She goes, "Oh, but never fear." She goes, "I've been following you the whole time." She said, "I've been watching everything you're doing." So people are watching. So just remember that people are watching all the time. So what I want to talk about today is reverse engineering what you want your life to look like and how you go about doing that. And so for me, I did a couple of things. If you remember my story, when I was leaving the salon and I knew that I had to retire because of my health, I didn't have a clue what I wanted my life to look like. But what I did know is that I wanted to be able to travel. So I wanted to be able to do whatever it is that I do from anywhere in the world. That was kind of the overarching goal, is that I didn't have to punch a time clock at a physical location. And here's why. I spent 25 years in the salon industry, and I couldn't do it anywhere except right there behind my nail table. You know, and so I had to be there when my client was there. And if I didn't have a client in my chair, I wasn't making any money. So I sat in that chair a lot of years, to the extent Mark put down brand new flooring underneath where I was sitting. He put it in the entire salon, but where I was sitting, I actually wore the surface off of the floor from my nail chair where I sat behind the nail table, just from moving around, you know, and getting stuff and working with clients. I actually wore a hole in the floor, if that tells you anything. And
That's
I
what
didn't
they
want to
make
re
those chair pads for.
Well, I know, but we had so much. I worked with acetone and acrylic, and it really, you know, at that point, it was more of a nuisance than it was worth to me. And so I ended up just wearing a hole in the floor and wearing the pattern right off of the floor. And so once I turned it into an office building, I just put a big area rug down there because it had to be non-porous for a salon, but it doesn't for an office building. So I just put a big area rug there. I sat in the foyer of my building right there in Canal Winchester. And so I put an area rug in there, and I put a nice antique round table with a big vase of flowers on it right in the foyer where my nail table used to be. So nobody can see where I wore the floor off. But anyway, I know it's there. But when I retired, and I did it for my health, that was my deepest why, was for my health. I wanted to be able to work on my health, and I didn't want to sit in the same place 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, you know, for 25 years. I didn't want to do that anymore for my health. The doctor was talking about all kinds of surgeries. He was talking about shoulder surgery and elbow surgery and wrist surgery. And he said to me, and this was my big aha moment, he said, "Wouldn't it be nice," he said, "if you quit right before I cut you all up instead of right after?" He said, "Because once I cut you up, you're going to have to quit." So he said, "Wouldn't it be nice if you quit right before I had to cut you up?" And I'm like, good point. So I made the decision. And so my overarching, I guess, what motivated me, my overarching motivation was, whatever I did not want to have to be tied to a particular spot to do it. I didn't want to have to, you know, like house cleaning, you got to show up at the house that needs clean, you know? So I didn't want something that actually tied me to a particular location. So I reversed engineered that and said, okay, whatever it is that I do, it has to be from anywhere in the world. So that really kind of narrows down your options. I mean, you have to get rid of mowing the grass and cleaning the houses and doing the nails. You know, you have to, those things are off the list at that point. And so when I decided to start with the academy, then I had to create in my mind for that vision, you know, what words can I use that would put my end result, because again, I'm reverse engineering that, what words can I use there that would make this happen so that I have something that every time an opportunity comes my way, I can test and measure it against that, those words. So what I decided was I wanted to call it an international academy. So it was important to me to put the word international in there. And even though my founding members were my girlfriends that live like right around the corner from me, I put the word international in there because my goal is I wanted to create where I was going, not where I was. I wanted to create a life on where I was going. So anyway, since then, I now have students internationally. And then even with our guest house, I have folks that come in from all over the world that come in and stay with us. The guest house has been a nice tool for leverage. It's since I'm already paying for the house, having the guest house doesn't cost me anything. And since it's me that's doing the flipping of the rooms, it keeps me active. And if I don't want to do it, I can just mark the rooms off. I have full control. It's not like, oh, I have to, you know, flip rooms. It's not like I'm the housekeeper and I have to do it. All I have to do is go in and just block off the rooms and then I don't have to do it. So I have total freedom there, but it's a great tool for me when I want to bring people into town. I have a place, I have something to give. I also wanted to be able to give more in my world. That was what I wanted my legacy to be, was to give more. So it also gives me the ability that I can donate overnight rooms in a guest house, which is a perfect giveaway when somebody's asking for a giveaway. If they want me to contribute something to their silent auction or whatever, I can do an overnight package, you know, at the Caraway guest house, and I can make it into any kind of package I want to make it into. You know, I can include wine if I want, or you know, whatever. So, or I can include a gift certificate for a dinner. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that I can turn that into whatever I need to turn it into. So it gave me a lot of leeway and leverage to give more. And so with that in mind, I really sat down and said, well, you know, what do I want to be remembered for? What do I want my legacy to be? And for me, I want it to be about giving. And so I started, once I put that down, not necessarily on paper, but could be on paper. You could put it down on paper. You could write it into a vision or a mission statement, you know, in your business. You could write it right in there. And so once you do that, then things start to make themselves available to you. You start to see things that you didn't see before. And so anyway, I'm interviewing this author the other day, and she's authored a couple of books, and she is doing great work in the Central Ohio, Southern Ohio area. And so I just knew as she was talking that I wanted to add more scholarships to my program. And of course, for you on this call, you guys know that I've done the Stephanie Myla Jenkins Initiative, which is the scholarship for to get your real estate license to pay for the education of that. And so this gal was working with foster kids that age out of the system. And oftentimes these foster kids, they have all kinds of support within their foster family, and they've got their case manager, and, you know, they at least have some advocates in their corner. And when they age out, oftentimes it's just like, there you go. You know, we did our job. We got you to age 18 or graduate from high school, whichever. And there you go. You're on your own now. And oftentimes these kids come out of that and they have no support system at that point. And some of them come through that and they don't even know where their birth certificate or their social security card got to, because they've been transferred between all these foster homes and it just gets lost over the time. I mean, somebody has it, their case manager, somebody, but they don't physically have it. And now when they try to go sign up for college or get a job or whatever it is they're trying to do, they don't have some of that stuff. And some of them, they don't even know how to get it. So anyway, this gal is working with those kids that age out. And so I took the opportunity to create another scholarship program through my Build a Better Business program, where I could donate a year's membership to a couple of her kids that she's trying to get started, and just give them a community to tap into and some skill sets that maybe, you know, they can use to move forward in their life. And she was excited about that because she already had one girl in mind. She said, I've got a girl right now. She said, your program would be perfect for her. She said, so I'm going to send her over after the holidays. So I'm excited. I can't wait to meet this gal and see how we can come alongside her and help her take her next best step. And what it does is it takes me in the right direction of creating a scholarship program for each lane that I'm in. And that's my ultimate goal, is to not only give away part of our membership dues to make impacts on housing or fresh water or whatever around the world, but also to make impacts right here locally with people that we know and just make a difference in their lives. So anyway, that's how I'm reverse engineering where I'm going and what it is that I want to do for the new year. And so I know Tammy's got some great goals and things that they're doing and places they're going. And I know Elise is kind of reevaluating everything that she's doing, and she's making some changes. And so I'd like to hear from both of you on how you're reverse engineering where it is that you're heading. Who wants to jump in and share?
Well, I guess I'm already off of mute, so I'll go. I am focusing or pivoting to become an executive publishing assistant. So I'm going to help authors, course creators, and landlords to systemize and orchestrate the mundane so that they can focus on the money. That really came from wanting to work within a freedom-based skill. So wanting to kind of live and work when I wanted to, where I wanted to, but also be able to make a meaningful impact on people that I'm already around, as well as branching out. So I'm super excited to have taken the step and saying it's okay to pivot, because that's been one of the things that during this year I've had to remind myself that I'm in full control. If I'm not enjoying the business, then why have the business at all? So it's been super exciting there.
Yeah, you got to do what you love. You got to bring your passion into it. And for me, I love to see starters get started. And that's probably the best way I can describe it. That just really makes my day when somebody takes that first simple step and they have a success at that step. And now they're excited to go further. And that's what really excites me, is to motivate somebody to take that first step. So I love that. Whatever it is that you want to take your first step in. So Elise, I can't wait to see how this is going to unfold for you. I love what you're doing. And she's getting a little bit of a taste of the freestyle living. We talked earlier today where, you know, she's house sitting currently. And I said, you realize you could do that all over the world. There are sites out there that you can join. Now, I haven't researched the cost, if there's a membership fee or whatever, but there's all kinds of sites out there that you can tap into, and you can actually do that all over the world. And so you can travel and do your job and make an impact and live the life that you want to live. So I love that. Tammy, how about you?
I feel like she's also been traveling to Florida off and on pretty regularly this year. So she is enjoying it.
Yeah, we met up. We met up here not too long ago. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So we started with just buying properties and being landlords to try to make sure our retirement money didn't run out. But we decided we don't love being landlords and we were self-managing. So we didn't really want to be stuck here all the time. So we have decided to kind of pivot into the private lending or hard money lending. So we just started that business last month. We closed on our first loan, and now we've got to figure out all of the policies and procedures for a new business. But I like that it's more flexible and allows us to travel more and be away from home more often. So
your kids aren't close, right? I mean, Yeah.
We live in Ohio. They live in Texas. So they got as far away from us as they could.
My daughter got 3 miles. no, I love that. Now, at least you see your mom pretty regularly. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. She's about 15 down the road.
Yeah. My daughter's about that far from me as well. But Tammy, I get it. And that way you guys could stay there as long as you wanted, as long you could work from anywhere. And especially with Zoom calls and FaceTime and faxing.
We actually found that the last time we were here, we closed on a private loan to someone, and I borrowed money from someone last year at this time when we were in Texas. And today I was supposed to have a loan closing, and a mobile notary will go anywhere in the US. So they were going to come. I'm currently at my daughter's house in Texas, and they were going to come to Texas to close on a loan for an Ohio property that we have. So
mm-hmm.
we're learning that you can do it from pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. Now, there was a time that was not common. So even though a lot of bad things came out of that COVID era, the good thing that came out of it was that everyone learned how to work remotely. And so a lot of these companies that had never done any remote work implemented some remote options, and they realized just how darn convenient it is to do stuff remotely. And even though there were some mobile notaries, there were still some title companies that wouldn't accept a mobile notary. There were some lenders that wouldn't, but now just about everybody is on that bandwagon with like DocuSign and, you know, I mean, almost everyone's on the bandwagon. Very few banks or title companies are not at this
point.
During
COVID, we did close on a loan where everything was remote. Even the notary was just via Zoom. You just had to hold your driver's license up for them to see it. And they took a screenshot and, you know, performed their notary duties that way.
Yeah. Because I'm required, I'm also a mobile notary, and I'm required to have a copy of the ID that I verified it was the person. That's my job is as a notary, is to just verify the person signing is the actual person. And again, I just have to have a copy in my file that I took a copy of their picture ID. Yeah. So that's a perfect solution. I love it.
Yeah.
So Tammy, where are you headed in this big picture of reverse engineering what you want your life to look like? What do you want your life to look like?
I want to be able to travel and come and go as I please. It doesn't have to be fancy trips, but I just want more time freedom. Because like you said, I did my 25 or 30 years in corporate world, and I'm tired of the 9 to 5 where your job isn't flexible. You can't come and go as you please. So we're just really enjoying that for the most part. You know, you have some days where things are going on, but for the most part, we can set our own schedule and do most everything from anywhere.
Yep. I love that. I love that. So in a perfect world, would you have an actual place to land and then travel in between, or be a total nomad? For me, I love my condo. I'm at the condo right now. I'm sitting out on my lanai. I just have a blank wall behind me. Even if I turn off my background, it's just a blank wall behind me on the lanai. But I'm sitting on the lanai and I'm looking at the beautiful sunshine and trees. I've got trees out here on this side of the condo. And then I'm 10 minutes from everything. I'm 10 minutes from theater. I'm 10 minutes from the beach. I'm 10 minutes from great restaurants. I'm 10 minutes from great shopping. And so everything, I have everything. I'm 10 minutes from boat rides and dolphin watching. And just whatever it is that I love to do, it's all right here. And we can create our day every day however we want. And so I like having a place that I can land, so to speak. And so in a perfect world, I would love to have that on both ends, have a place to land here because I like it here, and have a place to land back in Canal Winchester because my daughter's 3 miles away. And unless she is like Tammy's and decides to, you know, move, she and her husband talked about moving to the Carolinas. And so again, I just want to have a place to land. And then now the grandkids are starting to be grown. I mean, Dakota is a Marine. Who knows where he's going to end up? You know, he'll fall in love with some girl in California or something, and he'll decide to live out there. So my point is, I just like to have a landing spot where I'm not, where I don't feel like I'm traveling all the time, but then I want the freedom to do the trips in between. So that would be in my world, that would be my, the way I want to reverse engineer my life. So Tammy, how about you? Do you want a place to land somewhere, or somewhere close to the kids?
I think ideally that would be kind of mine. Someplace in Ohio near family, since we're from Ohio, but then someplace here in Texas so I can be closer to my kids. But my husband and I haven't decided for sure where we want to live. So we are talking about getting an RV and just traveling for a couple of years till we figure out where that someplace is. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens or not.
Yep, I like that. I just met a gal over the weekend. Long story short, she took care of a handicapped daughter and then took care of an elderly father. They've both since passed away, and now she's on her own. So she did buy a small camper type vehicle, and she travels and loves it. And she loved it so much that she went back home and sold her house and sold all of her contents, and now just lives in her little camper and loves it. Now she's thinking about upgrading the camper because that's her home. But sure. She says she doesn't have any desire to go back to buying a piece of real estate to live at an actual location.
Well, you guys both know that we're living in one of our rentals right now and fixing it up. So mm-hmm. we're thinking that once we get it done and move out, then we will buy an RV that costs as much as or less than the income that we get from that particular rental property. So that's still... it's not going to be any money out of our pocket for it. And then we'll use it for as long as we want. And when we find a place we want to land, then we can sell the camper and buy another house.
But in the meantime, you've got your own bed, your own kitchen, your own stuff. You don't feel like you're a nomad. You don't feel like you're living out of a suitcase.
Right.
Yeah. I like that idea. So perfect. Elise, what does your vision look like? If you could reverse engineer what you want your life to look like, what would it look like? Would you have a place to land, or would you want to have even more freedom and not have a home base?
That's such a great question. I am very indecisive. It's within my nature. I'm like, oh, I love having a place to come home. I love being able to do the action of going home. However, if I'm not against getting one of those small campers to pull behind my truck, because I mean, I enjoy going to parks and going and kind of hanging out anyway. So, you know, and to go home and home kind of be with me might be interesting. So reverse engineering it for me is figuring out if there's anything that makes me happy to stay stationary, or if I am feeling the best when I'm moving around.
And I think it's different too when you have kids and then grandkids. A lot of that goes into the equation. And my guess, Elise, is, you know, you're not in right now in a relationship to start a family, but if you start a family, I think you kind of feel like you want that stability for a child, you know, for schooling and friends and, you know, and for them. But I find that I make friends wherever I go, so it doesn't really matter to me. Mark even said the other day, he said, I think we have more friends down here than we do back in Ohio. And I said, probably as many. I mean, you know, because we do make friends rather well, quickly. And so we do have a lot of friends here and back in Ohio. And I did ask the girl her name's Kim, that I was talking to over the weekend. I said, do you ever feel like you're just hanging out there? And you know, since she doesn't have any family left, it was just her dad, herself, and her daughter. And now the daughter and the dad are both gone. It's just her. And mm-hmm. I said, do you feel like you're just hanging out there all alone? And she says, no. She goes, I make friends everywhere I go. And she said, and I be sure and actually connect with them and get their name and a phone number. And she said, and then I stay in touch. She says that she makes the effort to keep that connection going. And she said, and oftentimes it'll grow into a pretty close friendship. And I met her because that's how she ended up at my other girlfriend's house. We went to go see them over the weekend, and this girl was there, her camper was parked in their driveway, and that's how they met. And now they're like really good friends. And so she was there for like 3 weeks, just parked in their driveway. And they just ran an extension cord out, you know, to her camper. And so she could come in and hang out with them, but yet she could then go out to her camper and have her privacy, give them their privacy. But yet she could come in and have meals with them if she wanted, and then go back out to her camper. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. And so it's kind of like having her own place wherever she goes. Yeah, Yeah. So I think that would be kind of fun. Tammy, have you guys done camping like that before, or been in a motorhome?
No.
You've not done that before?
No, we have not. We did camping when the kids were little, but it was always just tent camping.
Yeah.
So seems like it'd be fun. And like you said, it's your stuff with you, your own space, unlike a hotel. So we've spent the last 2 weeks in hotels, and I'm thankful to be back at my kids' house, where I feel it's not my house, but it still feels a little more, I don't know, quiet and private and personal.
Grounded. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't just feel like you're living out of a suitcase. Right. And I think that's it. I think it's, you know, if you have to constantly pull your stuff in and out of a suitcase, it always has you a little off.
Right. And at the hotel, you know, the rooms aren't designed to hang out in for long periods of time. So we did get very acquainted with the hotel bar restaurant area in Miami. And then we just spent a week in Cartagena, Colombia, South America. And it's a resort, so it had lots of different areas that you could sit at. But, you know, I am an introvert, so I like some private, quiet time that's not just hanging out in a lobby or a bar.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it. You have to have some time to kind of regroup and where you don't feel like you have to be on.
Yes.
You know, even if you're just sitting in a lobby or in a bar somewhere, there's always somebody that's going to come up and strike up a conversation, and then right. You've got to be on again. So I get that. So as an introvert, I like my quiet time too. And even now, and my girlfriend said this to me back in Ohio, and I had to smile. She says, people always talk about going out and eating by yourself. She goes, I love to go through a drive-thru and just eat in my car. She said, I don't have to talk to anybody. I don't have to, you know, put on the Ritz for anybody. She said, I can just eat however I want to eat. She goes, I can scroll on my phone. I can read. I can talk to somebody if I want. I can listen to the radio if I want. She says, and I can just kind of regroup, and I don't feel like I have to be something for somebody else. And when she said that, I thought, you know what? I do that too. If I have a really busy day, sometimes I'll just go and eat in my car, because I want the world out there and me in here. Yep. I like
that. Don't we, Elise? We're also introverts.
Isn't it funny? And look, and we're putting ourselves out there, which is a good thing. But it's also good to know that we realize that about ourselves, and that we can pull back and regroup and rejuvenate before we put ourselves out there again, which is why I think that's why we're all doing what it is that we're doing, because it fits who we are.
Right.
Yep. I love it. So any comments or aha moments on how you might reverse engineer? Because you can do it on a big scale, from like birth to death, or you can do it on a smaller scale, on just implementing a project to reverse engineer it, you know, medium scale, what I want to do in the next 10 years, you know. So it's all kinds of ways that you can reverse engineer. And for me, I'm at retirement building a legacy. And so for me, I wanted to get those scholarships perfected. And I know I can't perfect them unless I start. I know I have to start first and then get clarity second. And so I've started. And so now it'll just get more and more clear, and it'll come together as the months go by. So how about you guys?
I think for me, it was just one of the things that Elise said, just being okay with changing your changing your goals and changing direction. So I set goals. I set 1 year and 5 year goals for my real estate business when we started it up, and we're only on year four. And so I'm struggling with the giving up my 5 year goals to pivot to this new business.
Okay.
David and I regularly have discussions where I say, but our 5 year plan was this, and we haven't done that yet. And he's like, yeah, but we've changed. And now we agreed we wanted to do this other thing. So give that up. And I'll say, okay. But then a month later, I'm like, I still didn't achieve that goal yet. So
now, is it possible to do both?
It might be. We just both have to get on the same page.
Okay. Because it's possible to still add what you're doing to the mix and still complete your original 5 year goal.
It is, except both of our goals are competing for the same dollars.
So, okay. I get it.
We only have so much capital that we wanted to put into these businesses right now. And I said, I want it for a house. And he said, I want it for a loan. And so we'll have to get on the same page and decide.
Well, now, again, without giving up the goal, you could alter the goal. Instead of saying, I want another house by the end of year five, you could say, what if we put the money toward doing the loans and then add another house by year eight?
Right.
For that passive income.
So our original goal was five houses or a certain level of income. And he says, well, you know, the loans are getting us that in, helping us to get to that income. So, but I'm still stuck on, yeah, but we only have four houses and we said we were going to have five.
No, I get it. I'm a little bit more like David. I'm a little more on the income driven. As long as I have the monthly income, for me, it doesn't matter whether it comes from rental properties or, you know, whatever, because I do some ghostwriting, you know, I get paid for that. So depends on where the money comes from. As long as I have a certain cash value, you know, cash flow,
right.
That's my ultimate goal is the monthly cash flow.
And some days I'm fine with that. And then other days I think, well, but I still haven't achieved that goal. So I can't cross it off my to-do list.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm like you. I get that. Yeah, my goal was 30 and we got to 30, but all 30 wasn't necessarily a good thing because some of them really were not producing. So then we sold six units, it got back down to 24. Now we're back to 28. And I've reached the financial goal, but like you, I'm like, but I said 30 and now I'm at 28.
And some days you're fine with it and other days you're not. So
yeah,
just depends.
But I don't have a deadline like 5 years. I just said 30 was going to be my perfect number. And so now, because I said that and put it out there, you know, my guess is someday a wonderful duplex is going to fall in my lap and I'm going to grab it and say, there, now I'm at 30. So we'll see. So Elise, how about you? What are your goals and how are they coming to pass?
Goals are, well, they were and are figuring out how I wanted to pivot, what would make me the happiest, because at first, one of the things I really wanted to close on my next house sometime this December, it didn't work out that way, but I also kind of realized that I was the one that was like holding me by the collar, keeping me from doing that. So kind of reevaluating that goal and where I want to go with it. And then secondly is the goal of self-confidence.
Okay.
In the fact that whatever it is that I say that I want to do, that the only reason that I would have the thought is that it was possible and that it's already created and out there for me. So just walking in that.
I get that because that's why I put the word international in my academy. I didn't have any international students at the time. I didn't even barely know anybody international that would even be interested. But I put it out there and then I just kind of embraced that statement that, you know, when people would say, well, what's this academy? Oh, it's an international academy. And they're like, oh, you know, next thing I know, I have students tapping in. And when I say, where are you coming to us from? They're all over the world. Just Friday, I had a guy come to the call from the Philippines. And I said, how in the world, you know, did you hear about me in the Philippines? And he said, oh, he said, I've been following you for 5 years. I said, what? He goes, oh yeah. He goes, I follow everything you do. He said, I listen to all your replays. He said, I follow everything you do. He said, I've just never been available during the week. He said, but I had a break today. And he said, and I just made up my mind I was going to jump on the call. So he was on from the Philippines, sitting in a McDonald's, because he said, we don't have a very good Wi-Fi in the country. And he said, but most of the restaurants right here in the center of our town have a pretty good Wi-Fi. So he said, we came over to McDonald's just so we could get on the Wi-Fi. And they were 13 hours ahead of us.
Wow.
And he made it a point to be there at McDonald's on the Wi-Fi. And it was like 11 o'clock at night for him. And it was 10 a.m. for us. So I thought that was interesting. So again, people are watching you, you know, on what you're doing and where you're going. You know, there are folks that have an eye on you that will ultimately be customers and clients and do business with you. They're just not in a position to do so today, but they will down the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I love that. Anyway, I had to kind of embody that word international. Yeah. And so I thought, well, I get it. I understand how that works. So I went back into my description of the guest house and I added the word international to all my descriptions. So now when somebody's searching, it says international guest house. So what I know will happen from that is that folks coming in from out of the country will gravitate toward me just because of the word an international guest house.
Mm-hmm.
Because they'll say, oh, I'll be more welcome there, or they'll understand me better there, or they'll have more patience with me there, or whatever they think, they'll just gravitate toward me because it says international guest house. Mm-hmm. So my tribe will find me.
Absolutely.
I love it. Well, ladies, thank you so much for coming on today. Any comments, questions, anything you're struggling with in your real estate realm, since this is our Happy House Hunters Mastermind?
The only thing that I'm slightly concerned about it, but I'm not as concerned about it, because you know how before you just magically have the funds to fix the things, you kind of just try not to look at the things that need fixing. So when you walk in the house, go straight back like you're going to the back door, turn to the right, and where there was a fireplace, we had to fix that wall, got a window put in. And now, let's say at the top of where these lights are here, you know, where the ceiling, so the white part of the ceiling is meeting with the wall. It's like there's a gap and I'm seeing not water damage, but water damage as if there's moisture getting in. So I don't know who I would call for that.
Well, first of all, since you you took out the fireplace and added like a wall there, right? You had the wall built?
Fireplace was already taken out. The wall was reconstructed, yes.
And that was before you bought it? You just
fireplace,
added the window?
Yes, wall, no.
Okay. The correct answer is that you've got some settling. Your wall has settled. And when it settles from the bottom. So you got to look at your foundation under that wall. You got to look at the foundation. It could be that something just needs to be supported or shimmed up or there, because the first thing is to stop it from moving any further.
Mm-hmm.
You can always seal up what's there, but you have to stop it from getting worse. So you have to find out where it's settling.
Okay.
So that's your first step, is just to find out where it's settling and get it stopped by shimming it up or reinforcing. And again, you have to start with the bottom up.
And I already knew that it was going to need some work foundation wise when I got it. So.
Okay. Yeah, so that's where you're going to start. Once you solve the settling issue, then your second issue is, how do I seal up where it's pulled apart? whatever it is that's pulled apart. And it could just be, I don't know, it could just be around your gutters. It could be, I don't know. You'll have to explore that.
Got it.
But it starts from the bottom up. Whenever you have a leak at the ceiling up there, a lot of people just want to fix the spot that's leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a quick Band-Aid, is to just seal up what it's leaking. But you've got to find the cause. Why is that corner dropping down and pulling that apart?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unless it's very clear that the wind blew something up and that's what's causing it.
No, I assume, honestly, we're on about the right timeline. If I got in there around 20, rebuilt the wall in like the very beginning of 21, then it's about time to get it looked at anyway. So this was expected.
Yeah. Do you know who did the wall for you? Do you have that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And that's why I figured I was on the right timeline. That wasn't a great contractor.
Okay. So you don't necessarily want to revisit the same one to do your fix. Okay.
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, that's clear then. I mean, that's a big head start for you. You know exactly who you don't want to use so that you don't run into the same issue again.
Right.
And then just know, and again, I hate to say this, but as a single female, just know that you're going to get estimates all over the map. And there's going to be those that are going to say, you just need to tear this whole thing down and start over. You know, you don't do that. Get two or three estimates. And it's okay to kick the can down the road too, because real estate is the long game. So it's okay if you say, all I can afford to do right now is seal up where it's leaking and revisit the foundation issue in another 12 months or 24 months. It's okay to do that.
And I can really appreciate that sentiment, not for 20 years, but definitely right. Push it down the road for a little bit. Yeah.
Because there's always good, better, and best. And what the best thing to do is to tear out all the bad work and do it right. That's the best thing to do. But not all of us can afford that. And so you have to just go with the good, better, and best. And so sometimes it's just good enough to seal it up and keep from doing any additional damage and revisit it in a few months or in a couple of years. Maybe finances are a little different. Yeah, it's okay to do that. Is that helpful?
Very helpful.
Tammy, how about you? Anything going on in your real estate? I have a vacancy coming. I haven't had one forever. I'm kind of excited.
Again, so where's your vacancy?
Well, she just called me today. It's a 2-bedroom in Lancaster on Fair Avenue. And she just called today to say she's giving me the month of January as her notice, and she'll be out by February 1. And so it's a 2-bedroom right there on Fair Avenue. Or, well, it's North Columbus Street, close to the Fair Avenue intersection there. And it's a real nice.
Is this a 4-unit?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. And so I'm excited because I haven't had a vacancy for a couple of years now. So this is kind of fun.
Something new. Right.
Yeah, I get a raise. See, because once we go in there, you know, I can raise the rent.
There it is.
I don't think we have anything. Like, we've been traveling for a couple of weeks already, and no one has had any issues other than I got a notice from the city of Lancaster that somebody hadn't paid their utilities, but she pays on the last day every month. And so every month I get that notification and I just send it to her. Yeah. I did learn though, when I sent it to her this month, that she told me that she's a single mom with 2 young kids. And so she's always struggling a bit. She told me her family got adopted by the Brock Strong Foundation this year. And so Brock Strong is providing Christmas gifts for her kids. So she said, I had extra money, so I think I've got all my bills caught up.
Nice.
That's a good feeling. And for her to have Christmas for the kids and to have everything paid, we all know how it feels when you have everything paid and you can have a little bit of extra money in your pocket to do something for fun. So
a little breathing room.
Yeah. Good for her. Yeah. How cool. I love it. Yeah. Tammy, this is the first time you've been traveling that you haven't had like major, drain issues or.
Yes. The last couple of times we've traveled, last year we had sewer issues and they were digging up the driveway and repairing a sewer. Another time we were in Mexico and a tenant called and said sewage had backed up in her bathroom. That was a different property. So yeah, we dealt with that. So far this one's going well.
Yeah, I've done 3 or 4 roofs and a couple of furnaces and I'm right now. And then I had a bathroom that the supply line to the toilet came off or busted or whatever. And the shutoff was too close to the floor. She couldn't get it shut off. And so I think we're going to have to replace a bathroom floor there, but my guy is out there working on it. And he said, not to worry. He said, I'll just send you the bill when I'm done. I'm like, okay. So we've got that one going on. And then my tenant in my midterm, on Leaf Apple there between Reynoldsburg and Whitehall. It's one of those, oh gosh, what's the units called? It's where the heating and cooling unit goes through the wall, like in a hotel.
Yes.
It's a condo, but he said that his heat didn't come on. And he's not sure why. He said it was working when he went to bed, but it was kind of cold in the morning. Anyway, my guy is out there and he said, it looks like it needs a whole new board inside the unit. And so we're just waiting to get word back to see if he can get one and get it in today. So those are the two things I have going on. But you know what, when you have 28 doors or whatever, how many doors you have, that's just the nature of the business. And you have to detach yourself enough to just say that's what the job is and not take it real personal. Like, oh my gosh, I got to get this fixed by 5 o'clock today. You know, no. And I'm in Florida and my guy's in, you know, in Reynoldsburg. And he said, what do I do? And I said, I'm in Florida. I said, I can't run anything over to you. And it's just a 1-bedroom condo. It's not real big. I said, run over to Walmart or Home Depot or whatever and get one of those little heaters. And I said, just take it out of your rent next month. And he was like, oh, okay. So now that takes the urgency out of me having to get heat there for him. And he's in a condo. So only 2 walls are exposed of his condo. The other 2 walls are connected to units that have heat. And all of his plumbing backs up against another unit that already has heat in it. So it's unlikely that if he didn't put any heat in his unit, it's unlikely that I would freeze any plumbing. And even if it gets really cold and it's not that cold, I mean, even though it's cold there, it's not that cold. And so it's not cold enough to freeze pipes. So anyway, that was my solution. He's happy with that. I said, I just want to make sure you're comfortable. And I said, and my guy will keep working on it till we get you fixed. And he's like, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
So you just have to treat it like the job that it is and not stress over getting something fixed. But it does require that you have a good team on the ground where your units are. You know, that's why that resource list in our Happy House Hunters is so valuable, because I've gone to it many times myself when I've had an issue to see who everybody else is using. And it works, you know, the folks are listed there and it works. So I love it. Any last comments from anybody? This has been fun. I really appreciate it. And Tammy, it's good to see you. Tell David I said hi.
I will. He was out running errands, so I think I just heard him come back in.
Okay. Well, tell him to say hi if he's close by.
He's not. He's downstairs putting away groceries.
Okay.
We needed some food for today.
I get it. Yeah, we're here through the 23rd and then we fly home for the holidays with the kids. And so we're trying to be very frugal with our shopping so that we buy just enough, you know, Saturday. Yeah, we don't want to buy a bunch and then have to throw away. We always end up with something left over that we give to the neighbors before we come home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Merry Christmas to both of you. I probably won't get to see you guys between now and Christmas time because Tammy's too far away and we're not back until right before Christmas. So I probably won't get to see you guys again until in January. So make sure we're changing the code. Tammy, this is for you, especially. We're changing the Zoom code in January. And so be sure that you go to the calendar And you can find it at kathybenner.com. Just go to the calendar and make sure you click through and register to get the new code. And then I don't think you have to register after that, because then that new code will be good from then on for everything. So,
all right.
So be sure and pick up the new code. All right, guys.
Thanks
for being on today. I love seeing you guys.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. Merry Christmas. See you later.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.